Hello and welcome to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast. I'm joined in this episode by BBC Radio Merseyside's John Lawless. You got any more strings to your bow, John?
Yeah, a few, but I can't let you know. It's all a bit hush-hush, you know what I mean? And my handlers wouldn't allow me to possibly reveal what else I've got in my bow.
We're gonna react to Widnes' defeat to Batley and talk generally about how the season's gone and the plans for next season as well. And before we get going, thanks to our sponsors, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Whistle and Parklands FC. I suppose we'll start at the beginning, which is always useful. Batley, John, your thoughts on that game? Witness to eventually lost 34-16.
Yeah, it was a disappointing second half, wasn't it? I thought Widnes had much the better of the first half in that game and probably should have been leading by more than the 10-6 up that they were. But really disappointing in the second half. I think Simon Finnegan will be disappointed with the nature of the Batley tries, and I just thought they were a bit too tough for Widnes in the middle, to be honest with you, James. And you know, they were getting crash over tries like the Dane Manning one, where he just crashed over from a yard out. The dummy half gave us all sorts of problems because they were winning the tackle, and in the end, you know, you have to be honest and say that they deserve to win.
Because for 55 minutes of the game, Widnes had largely controlled the territory, hadn't they? Controlled the possession. But I mean, you touched on it, there was just Batley basically had one look at Widnes' line in the whole first half and scored from it. There is a bit of a concern about the goal line defence. What do you put that down to?
You've just got to toughen up on your own line, haven't you? You've got to muscle up. If they run hard, you've got to tackle harder. And I just don't think Widnes did that against Batley, to be perfectly honest with you. I think Batley had, from my memory, they had two chances in Widnes' 20 in the first half. He scored from one, as you said, and they got over the line from the other but were held up. Widnes had all the territory, most of the possession, and were only leading 10-6. In the second half, with a more even share of possession and territory, still didn't have an awful lot of ball on Widnes' line, by the way, Batley. But they crashed in for tries because they ran harder than Widnes were willing to tackle them to stop them.
There's been a bit of a conversation about there was three props on the bench and Talik only came on for the last 5 or 6 minutes, and you know, Grady and Baker started in the front row. I suppose almost systematic of the season in general, really, that lack of bodies or options up front.
Yeah, look, we signed pre-season, we signed Matt Cook and we signed Lee Jewett, two big and experienced, Super League experienced prop forwards, but the fact of the matter is we've not been able to get him on the field enough, have we? Cutts played a number of games, but we know he has this ongoing issue with a back problem. Lee Jewett has appeared for what, 20 minutes against Salford, so the two people we were hoping were going to give us that solidity and steel in the middle of the field have been absent a lot of the time. I like Owen Farnworth a great deal, by the way, but you know, you can't do it on their own. Paul Clough's doing well also, but you need to be able to rotate consistently, and everyone's got to do their bit as well.
That the defeat to Batley pretty much probably rules out the playoffs this season. Not that maybe most people hadn't really expected to get there by now anyway. So I suppose it's just a case now of getting through the rest of the season. What do Widnes need to do to improve for 2022? I mean, what sort of areas of the team do you think they need to be recruiting for?
Well, the areas of recruitment they had for 2021, unfortunately, are going to be the same areas of recruitment for 2022. I don't think Matt Cook's going to go around again, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what the situation is with Lee Jewett, but Widnes are still wanting some extra steel in the pack, in my opinion. They could also do, you know, there's plenty of things that they could do. I'd like to see the halfbacks strengthened for next year, whether that's strengthened from within or without. And obviously, they're always on the lookout, I presume, for speedy three quarters. I've been made up with the way that Jake Spedding has come on this year, because earlier on in the season, he didn't look to have that much confidence in his own game. But in recent weeks, even though he's missed a few games, I thought he was superb against Featherstone away in the 1895 semi-final. And he looked really sharp with limited opportunities against Batley as well, showing real pace and real confidence to use that pace, then that's half the battle as well.
Yeah, and if you could keep, you know, if Cross, Spedding, Tyra and Hatton can be retained, that's a decent, you know, three-quarter line as it goes. I suppose the halfback thing is, do you put Matty Smith back in at halfback, or do you think they need to look at someone else and maybe keep Matty Smith as almost like a utility player?
Well, I think that was quite an inspired move. I had my doubts that could work, to be perfectly honest with you. But because he's going to have to do an awful lot of tackling with Matty Smith, and I wasn't sure, to be honest, that whether that was going to be up his street. But actually, he's done rather well there, hasn't he? He more than all did end up in defence, and he gives us an extra passing option as well. As regards to the halfback situation, it might be a question of repurposing some people. It depends what you can recruit, doesn't it? Let's say, for example, that we could recruit, you know, a quality fullback. Well, would that not free Jack Owens, for example, to play in the halves alongside Danny Craven? Owens and Craven looks a pretty solid halfback partnership to me. Two good attacking players, and both capable of more than holding their end up in defence. I do think in certain areas on the fringes, Widnes's defence looks a bit vulnerable, doesn't it? We saw that again at the weekend, and you know, often teams carry a halfback who's not the greatest defender. You can't carry too many people like that though in your team, because you get rolled down the field too easily. And as we've seen at times this season, Widnes's goal line defence just hasn't been tough enough.
Yeah, and I think I commented on it at the game, where because they're tired in the middle, it then means that the outside defenders get a bit more desperate. They try and get the intercepts, they try and get the one-on-one steal, and that's where it's breaking down really for Widnes, isn't it? And the fans are starting to get a little, well, there was plenty of disappointment, it's fair to say, after that performance against Batley. Do you feel that it is a personnel issue rather than a style of play issue, or...?
I think it probably is mainly a personnel issue. I just think we need to all understand that a try counts 4 points however it comes. Now, Widnes got the try of the game against Batley, didn't he? A superb try from a kick. He moved the ball wide immediately. Spedding showed his pace and put Dion Cross under the post. But it only counted 4 plus 2, 6. Well, the Batley's tries counted 6 that Dane Manning scored. But he just flicked it up to him, and he was a yard out, and he banged in because he wanted to. Mm. And wanting to is half the battle. But the defenders have also got to want to stop him. I'm not picking on that particular occasion, because you know he wriggled his way over in the end, didn't he? And there was some controversy about whether he got the ball down. But you can't be conceding every time the opposition are close to your line by them just banging in. I mean, at least make them do something to score a try. If they put it through three pairs of hands and go up the back a couple of times and the winger dives in at the corner, hey, well played. But if you're just banging in from 5 yards out with a straightforward one off the run, you've got a problem.
And like you say, Widnes are almost having to score spectacular tries at times. There's also a little bit of concern that they seem to be bombing quite a few chances. I remember Jack Owens against London Broncos. You know, that could have changed the game. Well, that could have been decisive in the game just before our time. There was one in the game. Well, there was maybe two. I mean, slightly harsh on Wild, I suppose, the second one. That was a tough kick for him to pick up from Owens. But there was a definite break by Spedding that maybe he should have passed the other way. And I suppose the lack of chances or the lack of clean breaks that Widnes are almost making, they need to be a bit more clinical with those chances.
Look, I'm not too concerned about bombing tries if you're making a lot of breaks, because that will come, you know what I mean? People will learn from each other. I'm sure when he looks at the video, Jake Spedding will think, oh, no, I should have looked outside to be winger there, and he'd have scored. But he didn't spot that. I'm not too worried about that aspect of the game. The problem is, I think we think we've got to put something quite smart on, a good passing move on, to score our tries. I'd like to see Widnes get their percentage of crashing tries like other teams do against Widnes. Every try doesn't have to be, you know, like the one that Cross scored on Sunday, which was superb, and we want to see great tries as well. But I want to see Widnes get some crashings as well.
And I mean, to be fair, Widnes got the perfect player to do that in Adam Lawton, and we've spoken a few times about this. There was a little bit of frustration that he's used as a dummy runner perhaps a little too much. And they should just give him the ball a bit more and see what he can do.
I think we need to start using Adam Lawton, the dummy runner option, as the alternative, as opposed to the first thing we go to. It's almost like, I think we're trying to surprise them when Lawton gets it. Well, I'd rather he got it a lot and caused them problems, and then they maybe doubled up on defence on him, and then you go up the back, miss him out, he sucks in two defenders, and Owens or whoever's coming out the back there, suddenly there's space and an overlap. So I think they need to hit him as the lead runner probably more often. I know I've said this to you a couple of times, James. I'd like to see him work on the other side of the field personally, alongside Danny Craven. I know he has done that in the past. I'm talking about previous spell at Widnes. I'd like to see Lawton, because we know he's a real weapon for this team. You know, he's a lot of Widnes' tries have come through either by him or through him this season. And I'd like to see him working on the left with Danny Craven. And I think that would give us a better defensive mix as well, because Craven's a good defender. That would put Wild on the other side, in the other second row, or Grady maybe, depending on how the team gets selected on a particular day. I think that would be a better blend defensively. And I think Widnes could get real dividends from Lawton working alongside Danny Craig.
Yeah, because I mean, there's been games, you know, clearly teams are targeting Lawton, which is fine, but then there have been games where teams have targeted him, but he still won. And I think the point of using him as the lead runner and getting him plenty of ball is that it then creates space for other people around him. You know, I think I mentioned with Ian years ago when Gareth Hock was there, he created loads of space for Hambry and Phelps behind him because everyone was targeting him, and that's almost what you need to get Lawton to do. But if you're never going to give him the ball,
yeah,
like they had Lucas Walshaw playing at the centre, a big lad, to presumably try and stop Lawton, and then they realised at that time, well, Widnes aren't really running it with him, so we can put him back into the middle, and that's what started causing Widnes some problems then.
I'm going to give it a bit of a cricket analogy here. It's a bit like having a great ball in your armoury. Keep bowling your great ball, and then your other ball is your surprise ball.
Yeah.
And Widnes have got a great gun in their armoury in the shape of Adam Lawton. Especially early on, you should use that. If they want to double up on him because they're getting frightened of the damage he can do, and we know that he doesn't need to have a space to create his own, he can create his own space with his size and power. That's when you use him as the alternative. But I think at the moment we seem to be doing it the other way around, don't we? The alternative is giving him the ball rather than the out-the-back pass. Whereas I think that should be the first go-to, is giving him the ball as the lead runner, and the out-the-back pass then becomes the alternative and he's more likely to work.
Mm. There's been a few murmurs, a few people have been dropping names to me about possible signings and not signings. Dion Cross is being linked with Salford. Someone mentioned maybe the Chappells will come back, maybe Willie Iser, although I think he's staying at Wigan. Kyle Amor is one that's being mentioned as well, who'd be a solid, well, more than solid replacement in the front row. But there is an issue, isn't there, in terms of player availability and the player pool. I know people are saying, why can't the club go out and spend money? But actually, there's a massive issue within rugby league in general, maybe not in Yorkshire, but certainly everywhere else, of actually finding players of a suitable ability and a suitable availability to actually come and sign.
Yeah, there's we don't seem to have the pathways that we used to have. I think the amateur game is not as strong as it used to be, especially on our side of the Pennines, unfortunately. Yorkshire side still seem to be able to recruit, and there's more of them, by the way, still seem to be able to recruit lads who've obviously come through the amateur ranks but can do a job, especially forwards at the championship level. And I think that's a definite disadvantage for Widnes. You know, I look at some of these lads who are, you know, names I didn't know and I can't remember now, who come on for Batley or Dewsbury and think, God, you know, where did he find him from? He's running hard, he's tackling hard, and he's doing the tough stuff in the middle that needs to be done. I don't think the pathway is there, or the numbers are there, of people on this side of the Pennines. And don't forget, we're talking about part-time players largely now, so people are going to be less willing to travel, the people with jobs who are in the local area. I don't think the supply is there, so Widnes have to be a bit smarter and maybe look a bit further afield to get the right type of player that they need.
Yeah, I mean, do you see that as something maybe that needs to be looked at, whether there's overseas players next year to maybe pad out the squad a bit more? Or
it's, you know, you and I can sit here all day, can't we, and say, you know, bring a couple of Aussies in. Go on, bring a couple of Aussies in. That's the matter is, you know, there's a budget here. I don't think the people who own our club are, you know, billionaires as far as I'm aware, so they're having to work to a budget, and those things cost money, but you've got to be smart about it, haven't you? You know, maybe there's a couple of people we can entice from local Super League clubs who may be wanting to release some players who do good jobs and what have you, but I just think they've got a bigger pool of certain types of player in Yorkshire to choose from, and getting some of them to come over is difficult because we're talking about a part-time game at championship level largely, aren't we? So a fella who's, you know, more than happy to turn out for Batley other weekend and train the Tuesday and Thursday nights may not necessarily be willing to come to Widnes or Swinton, for example, to do the same thing.
Yeah, I remember Jack Johnson being a good example. He ended up going to Newcastle in the end, but he signed for Widnes rather than Featherstone because he couldn't get over to Featherstone, you know, in time for training. And obviously the same works, you know, coming the other way. But a few fans are getting frustrated because Widnes, you know, you'd probably say Widnes are what, the second best supported club in the championship, decent crowds, obviously we've got the money from the Vicky funding and stuff like that. So I suppose the fans are looking at it thinking, well, why do Widnes have these issues? You know, Widnes shouldn't be losing at home to Batley in the manner that they do, but I suppose you could have all the money in the world, if the players aren't there, there's not really a great deal you can do.
Well, look, I don't know what the wage bill is at Batley, but I'm going to take a punt, and I think I'm going to be right, that there was more money out there on the field for Widnes than there was for Batley on Sunday. Now, that can sometimes reflect the fact that you've got better players in your side. It might reflect the fact that some of your players, you know, are special players even, and therefore are getting paid a premium. However, every game is won and lost in the middle of the field, and you've got to have players there who can match it physically with the opposition. At the moment, some, to a degree, through no point, no fault of their own, Widnes are losing those battles too often in the middle of the field. We saw in the second half there the almost inevitability of Batley scoring against Widnes, because you just felt they were winning the tackles, and that was giving the dummy half, who's a good player, we've seen him before, Alistair Leek, he was jumping out a dummy half and having basically a field day, wasn't he? Because we were on the back foot, we couldn't get markers in position, we were still rolling back, and he was able to do what he wanted, and he scored some good tries. Because if you don't win that bit in the middle, you can have, you know, I'm a big fan of Danny Craven, I think Dion Cross is a cracking winger, I really like Jaden Hatton, we've got some good players out there, Jack Owens is one of the best fullbacks in that division, no doubt about it. But if you're not winning that battle in the middle, and you're losing it quite badly at times, it's always going to be a struggle.
I think one of the other things as well is that you look at Batley, and they had options on the bench like Alistair Leek, Jason Brown's another, you know, really tough, strong, almost like the epitome of what you're talking about, the Yorkshire part-time forward. But the thing is, it feels like their interchanges are coming on to do something different, whereas it almost feels like sometimes Widnes' interchanges are just coming on to give other people a rest. So things aren't changing. You know, you're swapping Roden for Hume. Well, they're not really that... They're not offering anything different. It's just that they can't play 80 minutes, so you've got to have a rest. And I suppose that was maybe exposed a little bit in the second half, where Batley clearly changed something in their lineup. Whereas for Widnes, they've not really got the capability to do that, it seems, at the moment.
I'm not sure how much Batley changed, but what did change is they got a more equal share of possession, and steamrolled Widnes at times in the middle. They were just, you know, they were playing the ball too quickly because they were winning the tackle, and that made a big difference, especially when you've got a really good dummy half. And some good lads on the outside as well. It's not easy. There's a lad came on for Batley yesterday. You might remember his name, James. The lad with the ponytail, big lad.
Oh, Michael Ward, yeah.
He caused Widnes all sorts of problems up at Mount Pleasant in the first game when Batley thrashed Widnes. Because he offers something different, as you say, but he's around there. I don't know where the lad's from, but I bet it's not a million miles from Mount Pleasant, is the truth of the matter. Where's the lad like him around our area?
Yeah. I mean, I did read someone say it was the worst, one of the worst performances they've seen in the last last 70 years or something. And I was thinking it wasn't even the worst performance against Batley this season.
No, they've led a very sheltered life, those people, I'm afraid.
There's a bit of talk about restructuring and things like that, which could, of course, have a massive impact on Widnes. The latest rumour at the moment is that they're going to split Super League into two divisions of 10. So effectively, that means two from Championship go up this year, no one gets relegated, and then effectively the top six in Championship next season will go up. So that puts massive pressure on Widnes to finish in the top six next season, which piles even more pressure, I suppose, on getting this recruitment right for 2022.
Yes, it does. I mean, it strikes me as a horrible thought to think that Widnes, you know, could effectively then, if we're then almost saying that we're going to cast the rest adrift, which seems to be a bit of the implication, that Widnes wouldn't have a professional rugby league team. What? You know, even just saying it makes me blanch, to be perfectly honest with you. But if that is what happens, clearly there's going to be a cavalry charge, isn't there, next year for those top six places, and teams that, frankly, wouldn't be able to sustain it very long are going to be throwing everything at it just to get into that top six for that one year. And this is how these things always slightly unravel. I don't mind the idea of the top two teams being two divisions of 10. There isn't that much money in the game that we can have 40 professional clubs or whatever it is we've got at the moment. But then after that, it becomes an issue of how they distribute normally between the 20. But let's leave that aside for this moment in time, because what we need right now is for Widnes to finish in the top six next year. But if they do it like you said they would do it, James, don't forget that means that two teams from the Championship this year will be going into Super League anyway, and they obviously will be two of the best teams, if not the two best teams. So that's two less competitors. So it's a bit like finishing in this year's top eight.
Which, yeah, you'd imagine Widnes will. Well, I mean, the next few games are going to be pivotal.
Well, they had
to
a poor start, didn't they, Widnes? Yeah. And a lot of injuries early on. So they had a poor start, but they've improved massively since then. We went through a period there where we nearly beat Featherstone in the 1895 Cup away. We could have been Halifax, by the way. No one competes at the moment.
Yeah, Halifax have won 8 or 9 in a row now. Yeah.
Witness were, you know, within a second of getting a draw, at least. So Witness have improved, there's no doubt about it. So it's a bit like more like finishing in the top 8 than the top 6, because there'd be 14 in Super League. I'd expect Witness to be able to do that, but the special circumstances of knowing you have to do that, and everyone else knowing they have to do that, could create some anomalies, because someone might come along that, you know, battle.
Well, I think, I mean, if you look at the teams, if you look at the teams below Witness in the table, you're clearly a one that would be challenging next year. I think Sheffield may have a look at it depending on their stadium. Barrow, if they come up, will chuck money at it, and then it's going to be interesting who the second team comes up from League One. It's going to say if Rochdale come up, they'll probably chuck a bit of money at it. And like you say, you just don't know where you're going to go. I suppose one minor positive maybe for Widnes is if Oldham and Swinton get relegated, which, you know, is their favourites to get relegated, That may well free up some players for Widnes. And I know people are probably listening thinking, oh, well, we don't want Oldham and Swinton's cast-offs. But there are some good players in the Oldham and Swinton riding. So, you know, former Widnes player at Oldham. But I'm thinking Hatton the forward at Swinton is a really good player. And there's clearly a selection of players, even if it was just two or three from them teams, that because Oldham and Swinton won't be in the Championship next season, if they carry on as they are, they're more likely maybe to deviate towards Widnes.
Yeah, that's possible. I'd thought of that actually, but it's a good thought. If two Lancashire clubs, as it were, the old Lancashire, get relegated, yeah, that frees up some players. I don't think Widnes fans or anybody else at Widnes are in a position to get too sniffy about this cast-off business, by the way. Widnes, by the way, historically, the great Widnes sides that I've seen, I've got some cast-offs who've done rather well for them. People might remember Joe Grimmer, the prop forward from Swinton. They were bottom of the league at the time. Phil McKenzie from Rochdale, who certainly weren't one of the glamour clubs at the time. You can pick up diamonds even in some of these teams that aren't very good teams, because you probably haven't got many good players, but you may have some good players who put in better surroundings with some better players around them can really do a job for you. So this sniffiness about we don't want anyone from Oldham or what have you, but you know, that can't be the way it works, I'm afraid. But it's going to be very interesting, because if the clubs you mentioned as possibly being in a position to throw some money at it, that means, well, it could be a great season in terms of competitiveness, really great one to watch. But I do worry about the whole arbitrary cut-off of it, because I'm just going to use Rochdale as an example. I know nothing about Rochdale and their finances, but let's say the next year Rochdale get promoted to Championship. Let's say they've got someone around who'll throw one season's worth of money at this, and let's say they get in the top six. Well, what are they going to do the following season? Are they going to be able to sustain a full-time club, potentially, or a competitive club at that level? So the whole idea that there's this cut-off, and I'm not just saying this for Witness, by the way, it's arbitrary for everybody who gets on the wrong side of the line, isn't it? And that doesn't sit too well with me. But if that's the way you want to go, it's the only probably fair way of actually making it happen.
And I suppose looking ahead to next season, Widnes have changed coach in the off-season the past three times. You know, Sheens went, Kieran Pirtle went, Francis Cummins went. I suppose from a stability point of view, Simon Finnegan deserves the chance to stay on for 2022, in spite of maybe some of the poor results this season.
I don't see any reason why Widnes at this moment in time would want to replace Simon Finnegan. You know, not unless Craig Bellaby comes available and is willing to take Simon Finnegan's wages. I'd go for it then. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think you can point too many fingers at Simon Finnegan about what's happened this season. He started a little bit with one arm behind his back, and actually Widnes have come quite strongly. Okay, we're all disappointed at last week's result, and this is what happens in sport when you're passionate about it, by the way. We're disappointed at last week's result, so, you know, there's a tendency to think, well, God, everything's terrible then. Previous to that, Widnes had actually been playing quite well, but sporadically because of the COVID thing and Wembley and what have you, where they didn't have a fixture. But I see no reason to change the coach, and in fact, I think it could well be counterproductive, because most of the players who are there now are going to be there next year, and as you were talking about with the continuity, I see no reason to do that at all.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, that run of four games where there was the winners against Sheffield and Bradford, and then you lost by two to London, lost by one to Halifax, that could have easily have been four wins.
Yeah, it could have been, but you know, there's a saying about uncles and aunties, isn't there, which I won't use on this podcast. But the fact of the matter is, we've just lost those games. I'm not saying that, you know, everything's rosy in the garden, but I don't think there's anything there that says to me, oh, we need to get rid of the coach and find another one who, you know, there's no guarantees there either, unless it is Craig Bellamy, that'd be fine. But no, I don't see anything in that, because when we've been able to get a team that's been able to have a decent rotation from the bench, and do that on a few consistent games, we've actually showed that we can compete with the better teams in this division, the Featherstones of this world. The Halifax is at the moment certainly one of the better teams. So we've shown we can compete with them. I think we need a bit more squad depth next year if we can afford it. And we need to be very smart with the recruitment that we do.
There's a members' evening next week for the fans with Phil Finney, chief exec, and of course Simon Finnegan, the coach. What sort of questions do you think we'll be getting asked at that evening? Bear in mind that, you know, we're fortunate enough that we've been able to go games throughout COVID, obviously through work. Fans have only been coming back for a few weeks. They've seen the defeat to London, they've seen the defeat to Featherstone, the defeat to Batley. What sort of things do you expect will come up?
Well, recruitment's going to come up, isn't it? Fans are going to want to know that there's going to be some improvement in terms of the playing personnel next year. They're going to want to know if people are leaving. They probably won't get told that, but they need to know that the club is fully across the fact that there needs to be improvement. And every club's looking for that, by the way. You know, York have done terrible this year. Everyone was predicting they were going to, you know, be up there with Toulouse and Featherstone this year. By the money they've thrown at it, they've done useless this year, but they might completely revamp their team, of course.
Well, I said before the season I thought York had I didn't rate York of what they've done, but I'd imagine that you ask the majority of fans if they'd have rather recruited York's team than Widnes, they probably would have gone York.
Yeah,
and like you say, you're never quite sure on paper how it's all going to go.
You've got quite a number of high profile players there. I don't think people who are coming straight out of Super League going straight into York doesn't seem to have done them an awful lot of good. Some of their performances have been very poor. But I'd want to know a bit about recruitment if I was a fan at the forum. I'd also want to know about what Widnes' thoughts are about the relationship we have with teams who can loan them players, because I think it's going to be become increasingly important, and I don't think we're getting the return of a second team rugby at Super League level next year. So again, having relationships with teams that can, so you can bring players in to thicken out your squad, because obviously the budget is limited, that's very, very important as well. Some of these teams, you know, lower down, some of the other teams in the Championship this year, basically reliant.
Yeah, York are loaning a player every week, basically.
Exactly. We need to have that sort of relationship. I don't want us to do that, by the way. I don't want Widnes to be a team that's got three and four or five loanees in the team every week. But you need to have that relationship, because you don't know what's going to happen with injuries, whereby you can bring players in of good quality when you need them, and you might have the odd one or two who is on a semi-permanent loan basis that you know, strengthen your squad every week.
I suppose the COVID thing has contributed to that, like we saw with Ellis Robson, where he was on loan at Widnes, went to Bradford so he could train more, basically, because Bradford have a hybrid sort of full-time / part-time system. I mean, Robson's at, I think he's at Salford now anyway, isn't he? I suppose next season, presuming COVID has gone away to an extent, means that if you do get a loanee from Warrington, he can still train with Warrington in the day and then train for Widnes in the evening, and that would probably make a bigger difference for Widnes next season as opposed to this season.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on how all that works in terms of training schedules and what have you. But it is good to have a bit of consistency there, even amongst your loan players, isn't it? If you can have someone who plays for you for a solid part of the season, or a couple of people who play for you a solid part of the season, become a sort of regular member of the match day 17, that's great. But you're always going to need that resource of being able to find someone, sometimes at quite short notice. What happens to Widnes next week if they get three injuries? If they got three injuries yesterday at Bradley, who's turning out for Widnes at York next week? Probably James Gordon and John Law, to be perfectly frank with you. Because we have a thin squad. So you've got to have some way of managing that should push come to shove. We saw that particularly early in the season. It's been a bit better since. But still, we've got long-term injuries, as we know. Logan Tompkins, Jewett. We haven't seen them all season, basically. So you've got to have something there as a contingency plan, and it needs to be a solid relationship with somebody who you need to have a partnership with, and you've got to have that in place.
Thanks, John, for your time, and we'll leave our agents' details in the description, just in case Widnes do need us to play this Sunday. Thanks for listening to the podcast, as always. Do subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen to. Thanks again to PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle, and I'll see you next time.